It's a healer. Okay. Oh, yeah. A round of applause. You can hit record whenever you're ready. Yeah. All right, so today, the yoke's on you. The yoke's on you. We're going to be in Genesis 28 and 29 today, quite possibly, and there'll be some bleed over for next week as well. But I want you to hear a Psalms. I want you to hear a Psalms, and it's going to be ready to write. In your upper left corner of your scripture notes is Psalm, just write PS 27.14. And when we're around, the kids always go 27, we jump up and down and go .14. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say wait on the Lord. Why does he have to say it three times? Why does he have to say it like three times? Because we get antsy. We want things on our own way. We want to take it in our own fashion, and however we see fit. We want the reins, Lord. Boom. God is my co-pilot. The old bumper sticker from, I think, the 70s, maybe even the 60s. God is my co-pilot. Wrong perspective. Passenger. Tool. Right? God is my pilot. I don't want to be antsy. I don't want to be like, I got to have it done. Oh. I was telling the guys yesterday, and by the way, we had a wonderful time at the men's breakfast. If you haven't been able to come to the men's breakfast, either get a day off, however you do, go into work later, I don't care what it is, get your people here, please. Don't schedule everything, anything on the third Saturday at 8 a.m. Because you want to know something? We have a great time. We even had one of our brothers, somebody chased him all the way down here. No, I'm kidding. He ran down. He just sleek, svelte, 6 miles. And he didn't even come in there sweating or breathing hard. I just looked at him. I was going, let me do that for you. I know. First one here. Not antsy about anything. You know, back to the men's, though. It's just a great time to fellowship. Every time, this is a time of fellowship. You know, it's a great time of teaching. It's a great time to go out and show people what's going on in your heart and in your life and what Jesus is doing. But I have to tell you something. This is a time of fellowship. This is an oasis, in a sense. So I want you to think for just a minute what it would be like to be on an island small. There's only two ways around an island, right? Clockwise and counterclockwise. Yeah? Okay. So anyway, you're there and you're kind of not by yourself. You just got a handful of other people with you. How are you going to be liking them after about a week, maybe two, maybe 6 months, right? We have to learn to get along with each other. Sheep bite and butt, don't they? They also get along, they graze together. This is an oasis for us. It's a time to come in and get a cool drink of water. Do you know why? Because once you go past the EXIT, which is enter, that's where the real tough stuff begins. You know, we get to go out and see God's beauty and feel refreshed and all the above. But you know something? There's a lot of things that cause us anxiousness and anxiety. And they want things done in a timely way, which is fine. Nothing wrong with getting things done in a timely way. Our Creator created in a timely way. But if it butts into what God has for you, then that becomes a challenge, right? Becomes a great challenge. That antsiness that we'll get, you know, it spills over into relationships, doesn't it? Have you ever been at home? Maybe there's a couple of you, or you have cohabitation at your house, and you're sitting there, and the house is quiet, and it's just you, and somebody comes in there going, man, I had an amazing day. It was like, and somebody ran out in front of me. It was unbelievable. And that's not good, because, you know, unbelievable, you'll never lie if you say, how's my day? My day was unbelievable, or my day was unbelievable. Unbelievable. It was so great. Somebody bought me a free ice cream and I got a Starbucks for nothing and somebody filled my gas tank. It's unbelievable. I got to spend time with the Lord, or I can't believe that guy ran me off in the curb and knocked my Starbucks on me and my ice cream and I ran out of gas. You know, unbelievable. You'll never lie. So somebody asks you how your day, don't say, it's great. Just say, it's unbelievable, and you'll never lie. Side piece there. But anyway, you know, going into that relationship, we'll start getting these ideas of relationships. How do we get some of the ideas? Try Hulu. Try Netflix. How about Modern Family? We're starting to get the idea that this is what life should look like based on TV. Hollywood's been going on for a while. You know, it started out as a very faith-oriented piece. Did you know that? And then over the years, it kind of got worse and worse and worse. And there, I will never say that there's a comeback to it because there's not a boomerang in there, but I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of folks making a lot of faith movies right now. And a side note for PureFlix, if you have Netflix or Hulu and you don't have PureFlix, you may want to consider dropping one and pulling in the other in. It's about $9 a month, and they're all faith-based movies. And some of them are just good moral movies. They may not have everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes it's life and it sucks and there is redemption in Jesus, you know. So in these movies, we sit there and we look at these video representations. You know, what we played with the kids, and I would encourage you this, is say it after me, spy the lie. Go ahead and say it. Spy the lie. When you go into life and somebody starts saying something, you don't call them a liar. You just see what lines up with the Word of God and what doesn't, right? So if you see somebody smoking marijuana over there, though it's legal, is this something that God wants us to do? If they're over here smoking cigarettes and it's available to people, is this something God would have us do with our body or alcohol or things that go before our eyes or our heart or the things that we say? This isn't the way God would have us do or be, right? We spy the lie in our own way. How do we get rid of that? We repent. We go before the Lord in that. I don't like seeing some of the relationships that we see on TV. Because what it does is it makes us start thinking, I have to be like that. I have to be like that. Can I just be me? Yes, please, always be you. Be God's version of you. You can't be me. You can't be anybody else you like, love, or see, or whatever. That's their job. And quite honestly, that stuff on Facebook and social media, everybody's like, I had a brilliant day today, and everything's rosy, and woo, you can do it too. And it's like, dude, once the camera goes off, we see what life really looks like, right? It's just plain and normal. Did you have something? Huh?
I don't like Hollywood.
You don't like Hollywood? You know what that means? We get to pray for them, right? Because if they had the truth, then they would go to heaven, wouldn't they? That would be kind of cool, huh? Yeah, Hollywood kind of jacks us up. But some of the stuff that's being represented there and wherever the movie source comes from, and we're seeing a big push out of China, if it shows anything outside the word, it's a rocky beach head, and you're in the boat, and it's wood. It's not a good deal for us, right? We know the word. We know what's going on there. You know, we see dating. You know, dating, it's not a biblical premise. You know that, right? It's not even in the Bible. Oh, I just got to go hang with this guy. He just makes me feel so good. You're going horizontal, not vertical. God makes us feel good. This will never take us anywhere unless God is in it, right? But I have to have a boyfriend, all my girlfriend. I have to have a girlfriend, all my buddies, or this, that, or the other. No, you don't. No, you don't. You spend a lot of time dealing with relationships you have no business being in to begin with. Well, if we're dating, then what's my option? Courtship. Do you understand what courtship is? It's with the idea of getting married. You're not going to be with a man or a woman, you know, boy or girl, anything like that. You're not going to be unless you have plans and they have plans on marrying. Well, I got to drive the car to see if I like it or not. Then go get a car and drive the car because a human being is not a car. Ford Mustang was not made in God's image, right? Courtship, a period during which a couple develop a romantic relationship, especially with a view to marriage. Romantic relationship has nothing to do with skin. It has to do with mind and heart, and the mind controls, right? The heart's desperately wicked. Who can trust it or know it? What if you're married already and they're a non-believer? You stay married. Well, I just want a man that's a Christian man. Jumping back for a minute. I just want a man who's a Christian. Then ask, are you a Christian woman? It's not a lighthearted statement in any stretch or cause. A Christian woman is sold out for Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? Sold out for Jesus Christ. All of her decisions go through him and by his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Do you know that? I didn't say perfect. I said this is the direction we're going. All her motivations are but of him alone and none other, not of herself. I just want a Christian woman. Are you a Christian man? It's not a lighthearted statement. It's the same thing. When we go as a Christian man, we're sold out for Jesus Christ. Lock, stock, and barrel. Not perfect, just sold out. That every day you're getting up, you're thinking, Lord, how about you? What about you? How would you be considered in all this? What are my steps for the day? You know, there's times I'll drive up to a stoplight and I'm like, Lord, which way should I go? And I know I have a direction I'll go pretty much every day till I get bored with it and I'll go some other direction. But sometimes I'll just go up to a stoplight and say, Lord, which way should I turn? And sometimes I'll hear turn right and I'll turn left and I'll run into a slowdown in traffic. I'm like, should have turned right, right? I like filtering stuff through the Lord. Isn't that dangerous? Yeah, to the non-believer. To me, it's not. You develop, when you have a good father or a good mom or a good spouse or a good friend, you develop relationships with them. You know their voice. You know the intention of their heart. You know they're not going to steer you wrong intentionally. God's perfect. He never has a desire to do anything to hurt you in that regard. So when you get sold out for him, all your decisions will go through him. Every decision will be filtered out by the word. It's like when we counsel. The whole time that I say counsel, I'm careful with that term. When we interact with people and just coach them, you know, in their life challenges, most of the time, we never avoid the word. I say most of the time, I hate avoiding the word because it's horrible counsel. Because when the word is there, oh my gosh, we'll never go wrong. We can spy the lie immediately. How many times when you're talking with somebody, a scripture will pop into your head? That's part of God's having it written on your heart, and then that's used to go ahead and refine that individual, you know? This isn't pretty stuff. This isn't easy stuff. This is big boy, big girl. Put on your big girl pants. Put on your big boy pants, because we're walking with Jesus Christ, and we're going to spy the lie, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the insight to that. Does this make sense? So when we see these relationships gone awry or gone amiss, we can go, that's not how it's supposed to be. That guy and that gal, they're living together. It's supposed to be by marriage. Well, we got to try the car. Stop that. Stop that. You don't need to do that. All you have to do is pull back and get into the Lord. But I'm lonely, not with him. Do you understand you can be desperately lonely in a marriage? You can be just as lonely in a marriage. You just have somebody to yell at or talk to, you know, right? In my marriage, I've been very lonely. It doesn't mean that Mary Lou's not fulfilling or satisfying, but she's not God. She's just Mary Lou. Very loving person, very deep and caring person, has great food. I love that. You get in that relationship, you're like, but I got to be in there. He doesn't know the Lord. I can save him. She doesn't know the Lord. I can save her. That is not your job to save them. Your job is to love the Lord first and foremost and then love other people and display Jesus Christ to them. Display the love of the Lord to them. It's not your job. We're just to model not the world. We're to model the word. Pretty straightforward, right? Christians must surrender their lives to him first and foremost. Married, not. It matters not. We surrender our lives to him. We develop the attributes of Jesus. And listen, learning all caps, true ways of love. We may have many years and we think love looks like this. And you want to know something? If you go back, and I love Dr. Stanley. Charles Stanley, you know, is he Atlanta? I can't remember. Is he out of Georgia? Yeah. He went back and he went over all of his instructionals that he had recorded and in book and print, and he completely gutted everything that did not reveal the Lord and was errant in his teaching. How amazing that is. What a heart to be able to endeavor that first and foremost, but to go in and redo books and tapes and CDs and onlines and MP3s and downloads and all that stuff was done. I have to go back and look why I love like that. Where did I come up with that version of love? Where did I think that it's okay to hold people to a higher degree of accountability based on my terms as opposed to loving them until they can get to the degree of what Jesus has for them? This other way was wrong. This way is better. You see? Because it takes it off of me. Now I can love without worry and consideration of performance. We can just love. I love that. Without love. The greatest gift. Can we do 1 Corinthians 13? I think we have it up on the board for you. I hope that water doesn't get me wet. 1 Cor 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass. See how fast it's gone? Without love, it's that quick. It's come and gone. It's fleeting. Or a clanging cymbal in two. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. None of that stuff matters without the essence of love, right? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing, in addition, nor anybody else. Love suffers. Love suffers long and is kind. Kind? Who's kind? Well, we're made in like kindness to the Lord. It's of His kind. Love does not envy. Oh, I wish I had his glasses or her hairstyle. Love doesn't parade itself or be puffed up. It's not any of that. It does not behave rudely, not on your terms. It doesn't behave rudely in God's realm. It doesn't seek its own. That's going to be the toughest one, because we want love conditional. It is not provoked. Love isn't provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But instead, it rejoices in truth. Spy the lie. Endures all things. What is all? All. Endures all things. Somebody stepped in my Cheerios this morning. Bear with it. Endure through all of it. Somebody rubbed me the wrong way and whatever was in my heart spilled out, right? We've seen that example before. Whatever's going on in your heart when you get bumped is what's going on in your cup. When you get bumped, it comes out. Same thing in your heart when you get bumped. Bears all things. It's not easy bearing all things. Did you know that? It's not easy doing that. Believes all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Love never fails. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. You heard that song? His love never stops. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Will is a promise. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Promise, will. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But instead of that, when that which is perfect has come, when that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became grown up or grown towards Him, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You guys see Toy Story 3? Remember the end? If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's a good adult-sized movie that's made for kids. I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now, do you know what the word abide means? It means to live in. Does everybody have a place that they can get in out of the cold? Like put their head on a pillow of some sort, whether it be couch, floor, or bed, right? So you're living somewhere. So that's abide. That's to dwell. Now abide faith, abide hope, abide love. These three. But the greatest is love. Isn't that something? Love is a very mature meaning. We're dealing with the author of love. We're dealing with the author of family. We're dealing with the author of duty, honor, and respect. Isn't that something? When we're dealing with the matters of the Lord, we're getting of His kind. And when it's botched up, that's because it is, forgive the term, bastardized. That means without fatherly instruction, to kind of generalize. When we don't follow the word of the Lord, when we don't, which he says is greater than his own name, when we don't follow these things, we are without the Father in that sense. Holy Spirit, please come and show. Satan attacked in the garden. He got Adam and Eve right from the start. He did it by misdirecting the word of God. Remember we talked about spy the lie? He does it by Satan misdirecting the word of God. And he attacked the origins of reproduction. If you don't think so, when God came back in the garden and they were hiding, what was covered up? So when we sit here and think of being yoked equally or unequally, understand that that's a garden attack. But I just have to have that woman until you're done with her. I just have to have that man until he won't do what you say anymore. It's based on our terms, not his terms. Loving with big boy pants, loving with big girl pants, we need suspenders, right? It's the word. Unequally yoked, married to a non-believer, that they may come by your faithfulness to God, not to them. You'll be faithful to them because you're faithful to God. 1 Peter 3 in the New Century Version, 1 Peter 3, wives and husbands is the topic. In the same way, you wives yield to your husbands. Then, if some husbands do not obey God's teaching, they will be persuaded to believe without anyone saying a word to them. Now, that's not share the gospel and use words if necessary, but it is. They will be persuaded by their wives' life, the way their wives live. Your husbands will see the pure lives of your life with your respect for God, the life you live. It's not with fancy hair. It's not with gold jewelry or fine clothes that you make beautiful. It's not any of that. No, in four. Your beauty, watch this, should come from within you. And when the Lord has it written on your heart, that beauty is there. The most beautiful people I know are the people that struggle loving the Lord, and not a bad struggle. When I say struggle, that's just the fight of sin and whatnot. I love seeing the beauty of him dwelling inside someone. The beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit that will never, ever, ever be destroyed and is very precious to God. Do you understand that your humility is a precious odor to the Lord? Your pride is an arrogance to him? Smells like bitter wood burning? In the same way, the holy women who lived long ago and followed God made themselves beautiful, yielding to their own husbands. But he just fills my needs. No, that's not your man. Sarah obeyed Abraham, her husband, and called him master. And you women are true children of Sarah if you always do what is right and are not afraid to do what is right. See, the thing is this, ladies. God has put spiritual headship by his decree in man. And we have to stand before the Lord on what we did and didn't do. And I see Adam and I just go, ooh. We see what it's like to stand before the Lord. And we see the weakness of hiding and covering right out of the garden. In the same way, you husbands. So all that was just said now applies to the husband as well. Or he would not have said in the same way. So, husbands, if you're a believing husband and your wife is not believing or not joining you in the ministry in whatever realm, whether it be here or not here, should live with your wives in an understanding way, since they are weaker than you. But show them respect because they were chattel. Show them respect. Because God gives them the same blessing he gives you. We only hear about the submit piece in all this. We never see the part that is equalizing is that in men and women, in the same way both, God equally gives both blessing. Did you see that? Please remember that. And don't let the spy the lie world take you from that. The grace of God gives true life. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Our goal is to maintain our relationship with our first love. Who's our first love? Who is it? Jesus. God. Holy Spirit guides that. I don't know Jesus. Then get to know him. Ask him into your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Well, I've known Jesus for a long time. What's this Holy Spirit? Ask him to come, fill you. The Holy Spirit. Learn to love. It's okay. Wait. Wait. 27:14. Wait. Again, I say wait. What does this have to do with the word today? Everything. Everything. Go to Genesis. We have a mom warning her son about marriage. Go to Genesis 27 and 46. Father, please, your word today. It's already gone out. Continue to pour, please. Please, please, please. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Moms, you know you want your daughter, your sons to marry daughters of righteousness, or should, because they'll drive you nuts. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, the Hittites, the Canaanites, who are considered dogs, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? That's rather hard. You're calling women dogs. You don't understand the perspective. Go to Matthew 15, 21 and 28. The title is The Faith of the Canaanite Woman. And Jesus went away from there, and he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came from that region, came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. This is real. Demons haven't left. But he didn't answer a word to her. And his disciples came and Jesus, send her away, for she's crying out after us. Send her away, Jesus, we can't stand it. She's just coming and pleading and all the above. Get her gone. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He's not being insulting here. It's a synonym for unclean. The lady wasn't in offense by that. He's just setting out what his initial role is, to come get the house of Israel in order, because it's out of order. They're to be the light bearers. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Go online and get the message. You'll hear it. He's correcting that there. We get to be those light bearers too, and we're not doing replacement theos here. We just get to join in. But he's setting things in order. He says, yes, Lord, she says, even the dogs, even the unclean, even the Gentiles, all that would be in synonymity, eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table, just a little bit from you, just a crumb. I don't want the whole loaf. Please, go do your work with the Israelites, but at least leave me a crumb. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed. Instantly. Isn't that cool? Because she understood who she was in the presence of. He wasn't being a jerk over her. Rebekah over here is just, she's just over the insolence of Esau. Because she doesn't want, she's seen what's happened by him not sticking with those that are spiritually close, which is coming out of Abraham, right? Ugh. Then in 28 and 1, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaanite. Arise and go to Paddan Aram. May I get that video, please, that slide? That's southwest Mesopotamia. Tell me when it's up. Thank you. Right up there. Where is it? Right up there. See Haran and Gadash? And then look over here. Where is Beersheba? We're going to be talking about that here in a bit. He's been down over in this area here. And he's buzzing here, and he's going to head up to there. You see up there? Okay, that's where he's going to be heading to. It's a map. And it says, do not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel. That means man of God, your mother's father. And take yourself a wife from their daughters of Laban. That means white, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples. And God give you the blessing of Abraham to your descendants and with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, and Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac was blessed, and Jacob sent him on his way to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that he blessed him. He gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone. Also, Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't displease his father. Dude, you've lived this long and you haven't figured that out? So where does he go? He goes to the side that Sarah conjured up an idea that God still blessed with lineage, but it wasn't a full blessing as in coming from Isaac, because he took a daughter of Ishmael. I'm like, our hearts, our minds get darkened when we don't understand truth and life. Jacob went to Beersheba and went towards Haran, which means mountaineer. Beersheba, you remember Beersheba when we talked about 4 or 5 weeks ago? Beer is the fountain. Sheba is of the oath, of the covenant oath. You remember Abraham and King Abimelech? They made an agreement at the oath, right? Now Isaac and King Abimelech, both sons, made an oath. And here we have Jacob going through, and you saw that on the map earlier in that lower area. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. So what does that mean? It's sundown, dusk. And he put one of the stones of that place. He took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. In other words, he made a rock his pillow. So when you say, my pillow just doesn't feel right, go sleep on a rock. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord your God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you will lie. I will give to you and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you're going to show them my ways. That's the intent of the fruitful and multiply. For us to be that moon as to the sun, reflecting the light, we are as to the Son of God. We're Christians in reflection. We're not the Messiah. I love that he is giving him this blessing. What's up with that ladder? And he's seeing the angel. He's showing that God is still alive and well and working today. Now, I don't know if they literally come up and down in the ladder. Yeah, that's, I'm not worried about that. But I'm seeing that connection to heaven on earth through this vision. And you know who I see that ladder or that bridge as modern day? Post-Old Testament? It's Jesus Christ. He's showing that connection there. That used to puzzle me with that ladder. What's the deal with the ladder? Why the ladder? It's that connection between heaven and earth. Do you guys remember quite a few months ago when we were looking at Nimrod? You remember Nimrod? What did he build? The Tower of Babel, right? You remember that? Why did he build the Tower of Babel? Because Nimrod was like, they told him, keep moving, keep being nomadic, fruitful and multiply, spread on the earth. And Nimrod was like, no, we're going to build here and we're going to build high. We don't need God to get to the sky. And what did he do? What did he do? He smite the language, didn't he? I mean, you got mothers and brothers and sisters and all the above, and they can't talk to each other. You're speaking German. You're speaking Cantonese. You're speaking South Texan. Right? He split us up. So when you see somebody that's learning your language or they have a different language than you, do you understand that goes all the way back to then when people of arrogance were trying to build a higher temple or a higher reach to heaven? Do you understand that? They don't speak English too good, do they? Neither do you. But you also need to understand there's like 1 billion people that speak Chinese and you don't speak it. Every time I see a different culture group, every time I hear a different language being spoken, I think of this time. Now you may be stuck with that. So I go, we have to learn to get along. We have to learn to speak. We have to learn to convey the love of the Lord, convey his interest. Welcome back. You should never say God bless you. You know why? Here we are with the Germans again. They believe that when you sneeze, your body stopped and you died for just a second. And they say, God bless you, because, you know, they wanted to bless you. I just say, welcome back. You know, your body died. Okay, however. That ladder, that connection point, the cross as we know it. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. Do you hear that blessing? Lord, just be with us today. You don't ever need to say that again unless you've lost sight of that. Lord, let me be reminded that you're with me today. Lord, be with me today. Lord, let me be reminded that you're already with me today or us. Isn't that cool? Because he says, I'll always be with you to the end of the days. We're not there yet, and we'll be with him when he gets there. And I will keep you wherever you go. You know the word keep. We said it 1 billion times. That's the safe place of the castle. That's where all the goods are stored. Women in jewelry go back in there. The gold, feeble men, old, young children. They're in the keep. They're in the safe place. When you see, and I will keep you wherever you go, he said, that I'll protect you. And you will bring and will bring you back to this land, he says, that I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and surely the Lord is in this place. Woo! Or the equivalent. I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There's none other than the house of God at this gate of heaven. Dude, he just had a full-on vision. He woke up and remembered he had interaction with God. And he was like, woke up and was like, God is here. First time, I'd argue, did he recognize that. He rose early in the morning, says in 18, and took the stone that he had put on his head and set it up with a pillar, and he poured oil on it, and then he put a case over it. Do you know why he put a case over it? Because it's a pillar, and it needs a pillar. Okay. All right, whatever. And he poured oil on top of it. That's just to mark it. That's all it's there for. It's not there for anything. It's just to mark it. There's no other significance that I'm aware of, and if there is, somebody please correct it. And Bethel became the name of the place, which means house of God. Before it was called Almond Tree. That's Lutz or Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow. If God will be with me. Ooh, what? Wait. When he said, I will, he didn't say if. Jacob. If God will be with me and give me bread to eat. He said he's going to put you in the keep. What's this if? Spy the lie. And give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back on my father's house in peace. Then, if he does that, then I'll do this. And this stone which I have set as the pillar. Oh, wait, excuse me. And I come back to my father's house. Then the Lord shall be my God. Okay, so he's not your God yet? Even though you went, woohoo, he's in this place. Dude, don't conditionalize the Lord. I don't know if he's bartering with him. You know, Jacob likes to hold on to stuff. Battled God all night, broke a hip next day, hipless or hip challenged the rest of his days. In another part and segment of the word. Grabbed onto his brother. Wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. This guy, that's all he knows is wrestling. WWE. I come back to my father's house. Then the Lord shall be my God. 22. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Even though at this time it wasn't required. I would add, son, why don't you give all to him? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Did you catch that? I surrender all. I surrender all. All means all. Love is all. Love endures all. Are you tracking? That's the message today. By the way, for the typing in, just 28. We'll do 29 next week. We'll go from there. I got to tell you, what do we see when we see him? What do we see? What do we see when we see us? Went from stoke to if. Went from blessing to question mark. Went to knowing that he's there to say if he's there. Guys, it's all. There's nothing less than that. Amen? Is it hard giving all? No, it's not. You're just out of practice. You're just out of practice. Please start practicing giving over all. Right this second. Just surrender that thought. Just surrender your motive. Check your motives as you're going through it. Just surrender it. Just give it all to him. We have communion here for you today. We have communion. Reminding us of his all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the pleasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Let that be enough. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the time. We thank you for the surrender and the opportunity to do such. We thank you for the love. We thank you for we didn't get morsels today. We got like the whole loaf, Lord. So don't let us loaf around. Unless we're spreading your word. Father, thank you for this opportunity to rededicate ourselves to you. Father, you shared your love in countless ways. You remembered us in the garden. You thought of us before creation happened. You haven't stopped that. The Old and New Testament are a synonymous flow. One reveals the other. You've spoken your word over the eons of time. And you're still speaking to this day. I hear this song and 10,000 reasons. Sometimes we struggle with three. Let the Lord bless you. Let him keep you and let his face shine upon you. And with that, that you stay connected and you're continuing to be blessable. Yeah. Communion's here for you. Please take that time and do your thing.